Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
He's the co-founder and conductor of Boston's newest classical music institution. With his flowing blonde locks and peaches and cream complexion, he's known almost as much for his good looks as his music, and if you see a picture of him, you'll know what I mean. He's also accomplished, innovative, and very sought after, and he's only 26 years old. Courtney Lewis leads the Discovery Ensemble, an acclaimed chamber music orchestra made up entirely of 20-somethings, which performs regularly at Harvard's Sanders Theater. They'll be performing a special program of romantic music this Thursday on St. Patrick's Day, which is appropriate, as you'll soon hear, because Courtney Lewis is from Belfast originally. Courtney Lewis, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's truly wonderful to have you. So tell us a little bit about the Discovery Ensemble, which you co-founded, and sort of what it does that's different from other classical music institutions in the city.
Well, first of all, as you said, everybody in Discovery Ensemble is in their 20s, and that gives us a different type of energy from other groups. And it means that we're able to perform established pieces of music in a different, fresh way. And we play a lot of unusual repertoire as well as the sort of symphonies that you just heard, like the Schumann Second, which you just played a clip of. We also play a lot of music that isn't played by other groups in Boston. And the other very special thing that Discovery Ensemble does is that we go into schools in Boston that don't have music programs to introduce kids to classical music.
Yeah, and I've heard you've even played at the Strand Theater down in Dorchester, in Upham Corner.
We have. We go there quite a lot, and we've had a lot of different schools come there together to hear concerts.
Well, I want to ask you a couple questions about youth, both the youth that you work with and those 20-somethings in the ensemble. Why actually organize a chamber music group that's only full of people in their 20s?
Well, Boston doesn't have, or didn't previously have, a chamber orchestra of this type, of this caliber. And I used to work at the Newland Conservatory when I was in Boston. And David St. George, the co-founder, and I realized that there was this potential in Boston because of the large numbers of people who graduate from Newland Conservatory and other conservatories in Boston who are really unbelievably fine musicians. There's a big pool of talent in Boston of those people. But there wasn't an orchestra that drew all those people together in a chamber orchestra. So the first thing you need when you want to found a group is that you have these really brilliant people. And that was there. So it seemed like an obvious thing to do. And we were very keen to have a group which would play new music and which would reach young people. And of course, when you have younger people in the orchestra, going into a school, especially if it's a middle school or a high school, becomes a very different experience for the students because the people playing for them are often only, nearly always less than 10 years older than them. And that removes a huge barrier from their perception of classical music as something which isn't for them, which is for older people.
It brings the experience closer to what they know and they're familiar with. So how do kids and students react to, hearing Stravinsky in Dorchester?
We always have the same reaction, which is that they are wildly excited and overwhelmed by what they hear. And that's great for us because, it shows us that there's nothing wrong with the music. Classical music is instantly accessible and exciting to everyone.
Well, I want to get to a little bit of the music you're going to be playing on Thursday. But before that, I've just got to ask you, because I read an interview that you gave in the Improper Bostonian, and you're on record there having, let's say, some non-classical music on your iPod playlist. Lady Gaga, Scissor Sisters, not stuff I'd expect to see on your playlist. So
I was very disappointed that we had a rehearsal which clashed with the Lady Gaga concert last week. So, well, if you're a musician and you work with classical music all the time, or you often find that musicians enjoy listening to something which is completely different from what they do for work. So I enjoy listening to a lot of music like that. And of course, we use that type of music sometimes in workshops. There was a moment last year where we were introducing a piano, and the kids have to guess what they hear. And I'd asked all the instrumentalists to come up with something. They play Star Wars, or two of the clarinetists played the music from Mario Brothers. And then the pianist just out of you know, without any instruction, started to play Bad Romance of Lady Gaga. It's got a huge response from everybody in the room.
I also note that you called it your trashy love for 80s Madonna, but I'm going to stand up for Madonna and say I don't think it's trashy. I mean, there's some good orchestration in that music.
Yeah. Very dismissive comment to be. Sorry.
All right, well, let's talk about what you're going to be playing on Thursday in your concert, which you're calling Three Faces of Romanticism. Here is one of them, and this is Schumann's Third Symphony. Let's hear a little bit of it. So tell us a little bit about why you want to bring this work of Schumann's to people's ears.
Well, a chamber orchestra often plays Beethoven and Mozart and Haydn, and we've played a lot of that already, and we're trying to expand the repertoire that the orchestra plays. So romantic music tends to be music which is played by big symphony orchestras. We think of Strauss and Mahler as needing 100 performers on stage. So we thought that it would be an exciting challenge to play three pieces from the 19th century and one from the early 20th century, which are very much German romantic pieces, but which can be played by a smaller group. It brings a different type of sound to the music, and it expands the repertoire that the orchestra plays. So we've got three pieces here which are really all about personal expression. Mm-hmm. First of all, Wagner's Siegfried Idyll, which he took from the opera Siegfried as a birthday present for his wife. She woke up to hearing the strains of this beautiful music coming up the stairway to her bedroom. It's a very romantic image. Then we have a piece, the Schrecker Chamber Symphony.
Well, actually, before we get to the Schrecker, we have a little bit of that Wagner. So let's hear those romantic strains coming up the stairway.
Sure.
Sort of an exuberant romanticism there.
Yes, well, that's one of the more lively bits of the piece. It also has very tender personal moments in it. So it's a very exciting piece for us to play.
And you were talking about, you were about to mention Schrecker as well?
Yeah, this is a composer that very few people know. I'm sure that the vast majority of listeners don't know who this composer is. He lived in Vienna at the turn of the century, and he was part of the movement of art at that time. And if you think of the music of Mahler, of something which is as expressive as you can possibly imagine, and then multiply it by five, you get somewhere close to this incredibly lush, often very decadent music of Schrecker. It's like eating three chocolate bars in a row. And the music is incredibly beautiful. And we've been having a great time with this music this week.
Three chocolate bars in a row with Schrecker there. Courtney Lewis, let me ask you, you've got, you're doing wonderful work here with the Discovery Ensemble, but it's one of two postings you have. You are also the conductor of the Minnesota Orchestra. So talk to me for a moment about the difference between working with 20-somethings here in Boston and then conducting, you know, a major orchestra in Minneapolis.
Well, my job in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, is the associate conductor of the Minnesota Orchestra, and that's as different as you could possibly get from Discovery Ensemble. It's a big, established, successful symphony orchestra. And the repertoire that I conduct there is very different because we're able to play anything because the group is so big. And it's for me, it's been a wonderful job because I've been able to play so much music with them and get the feeling, which is very difficult when you're a young conductor, of how to conduct a big orchestra. You know, conductors often train by conducting student orchestras or working with smaller orchestras or setting up their own, like Discovery Ensemble. But there's something very different about a big, fast car, mm-hmm. which is what the Minnesota Orchestra is like. So it's been a lot of fun for me to hone a very different set of skills there. And of course, you're dealing with people who are all older than you and have been there for a long time. So the psychology of working with a group like that is very different from Discovery Ensemble.
You know, we did open our segment with you with a playful jab at your Dewey youth at 26. But it is remarkable. You have come so far. You're leading these two very wonderful musical groups, one major orchestra and the Discovery Ensemble here. Does that make you feel like your own success and the fact that you've been able to give an outlet for 20-something musicians here in Boston, does it make you feel like there's a vibrant scene for young people who love to play classical music here, and there are things to look forward to, that it's not a dying institution for young people here?
Oh, it's very exciting. I mean, Boston has so much music by young people. The idea that classical music is dying is something that's invented by people who don't have any better ideas of how to keep it going. We have to find new ways to reach new audiences. But the number of people playing classical music and writing it and being involved has never been greater.
Well, that is Courtney Lewis, and you can watch and listen to him conduct the Discovery Ensemble at 7:30 this Thursday night at Harvard Sanders Theater. There's a pre-concert talk also starting at 6:30. Courtney Lewis, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We're going to go out with the Discovery Ensemble's recent performance of Beethoven's Third Symphony.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, New England has 4 nuclear power plants, and 2 of them are being considered for relicensing. But since the nuclear disaster in Japan, some say shut the plants down now. If so, how would we replace that lost capacity? That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.